Chapter 24. One day after Princess Leia's parentage had been revealed on the Senate floor, Joff Seastriker and Greer Sonnel sat inside the Mirror Bright waiting for her. Neither of them made eye contact with the other, and for a long time no one spoke. Finally, Joff said,
"I don't know about this."
Greer turned her head toward him, a lock of black hair falling over her shoulder.
"You don't trust her anymore? Because she turns out to be Darth Vader's daughter?"
"It feels weird."
Joff had heard the nightmarish stories of Vader's evil deeds his whole life. Yeah, he'd known Darth Vader had really existed. He wasn't stupid. But to Joff, Vader had seemed almost like some folktale creature, from stories told to frighten little children so they wouldn't run away from home. He could hardly wrap his mind around the idea of Vader as a man like any other, who must have once fallen in love and fathered twin children. Then again, the story could be far darker.
"Do you think Darth Vader assaulted Queen Amidala?"
he ventured.
"I thought of that last night," Greer said heavily. "But no. I've helped the Senator research Queen Amidala, so I plugged in some of the data last night. The Queen died before the first records of Vader ever appear."
So a man named Anakin Skywalker had become a Jedi Knight, fought courageously in the Clone Wars, and won the love of a Senator Queen, and had still chosen to become a monster. Joff shuddered. Greer murmured almost to herself,
"Captain Solo always knew. He knew, and he married her anyway. If he didn't turn his back on her, we shouldn't either."
Although Joff hadn't met Han Solo, much less actually been mentored by him the way Greer had been, he'd hero-worshipped the guy from afar. So did virtually any other pilot who loved racing. But Solo's trust in his wife didn't reassure Joff as much as it did Greer. Anybody who'd watched Han Solo fly a race knew the man loved taking risks. Big risks. Crazy risks. The kind of chances that got other people killed. The Mirror Bright's door remained open to the hangar, so Joff and Greer could hear the faint crackle of a welding torch and the chatter of nearby pilots and mechanics. He paid the noise no attention until suddenly, as if on a well-rehearsed cue, it all fell silent. Princess Leia must have just arrived. He and Greer exchanged glances before getting to their feet. Joff went into standard at-ease posture, hands behind his back, heart thumping as if the footsteps on the gangway were those of Darth Vader himself. But then Princess Leia entered the Mirror Bright. Her pallor shocked him. Overnight, Leia's skin seemed to have turned as pale as the white jacket and trousers she wore. Joff noticed, as he had not before, how much gray had threaded its way through her brown hair, and the fine lines at the corners of her mouth and eyes. It was not that she looked older, but the powerful vitality that had always been a part of her seemed to have drained away overnight. He wondered if she'd been able to sleep at all. Probably not. Answer suffering with kindness. That was what his mother's always said, one of the tenets people on Gatalenta tried to live by. Joff had always found the saying trite, when he'd bothered thinking about it at all. But that was his first instinct now, not to shun Princess Leia, but to help and protect her.
"Lieutenant Seastriker."
The princess's voice sounded thick and rough, as if she had a cold.
"Greer, thank you for coming today. I realize it can't have been easy."
"It's a pretty quick trip from the barracks."
Joff kept his tone light. They all knew the terrible truth that hung over them like a storm cloud, but he figured acknowledging it would just drag everybody down.
"Made it here even faster than usual. No big deal. I mean, no big deal, ma'am."
The ghost of a smile passed over Princess Leia's face.
"All right, then,"
Greer said.
"We're ready to do whatever you need done, Your Highness. If you're planning on leaving Hosnian Prime, maybe traveling to rendezvous with Captain Solo in the Theron system, just say the word."
"Same here."
But Joff wondered whether that was a promise he could keep. He'd been assigned to Princess Leia's detail by his superior officers. Would they belay those orders now? Princess Leia shook her head. We're not going anywhere until our voyage to Cybensko, which, as far as I'm concerned, is still on. I called you both here today simply to make sure you both remain willing to take on the mission.
Of course I am, Your Highness, but...
Greer paused, gaze drifting to the floor for a moment before she looked back up at Princess Leia.
Are you sure you can take this on? The fallout from all this... Forgive me, but it has to take a toll. Maybe this isn't the time.
Rin Riven Dai is moving large amounts of spice and larger amounts of money around the galaxy, funneling it to centrist worlds, Princess Leia replied. Some of the light had returned to her eyes. A paramilitary organization has begun arming and preparing itself for war, and may already be responsible for a terrorist attack on the Galactic Senate. What's happening to me personally doesn't matter. We have to act now. If it's not the ideal time, well, it's the only time we've got.
Yes, ma'am.
Greer straightened, her uncertainty gone.
The Mirror Bright will be ready to go as soon as you say the word.
Joff added,
And so will we.
I always thought I could count on you two. But it means a lot knowing that for sure. Princess Leia's voice sounded like her own again. Joff wondered if this was the quality that had won the loyalty of her troops during the war against the Empire. Her ability to press on even in the face of disaster. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have some unfinished business to take care of. With that, she walked out. Once again, silence followed in her wake, but Joff paid it no attention. He and Greer were sticking with the princess, and he intended to make sure that was enough.
So what do you think she means by unfinished business?
He said to Greer. Shaking her head, Greer replied,
I wouldn't want to be Ransom Casterfo right now.
Calling the meeting had been the right move for Princess Leia. Greer knew that. After the princess had sent that message to her son yesterday, the Force alone knew what she'd said, but her red-rimmed eyes testified to the tears she'd shed. No wonder she'd needed to realize she wasn't completely alone. And it was good for Greer, too, to discover that Joff Seastriker would come through for them. Beneath his youth and his daredevil attitude lay the kind of decency that could stand up to the ugliness of the world. On Pamarth, they called that quality bedrock. A warrior of bedrock was one on whose loyalty a kingdom could be built. Yet Greer had spent the meeting only half concentrating on the incredibly important things happening around her. It took so much of her will to remain still and steady on her feet. As soon as Joff left the Mirror Bright, Greer slumped onto the long padded bench. She lay on her side, feet still brushing the floor, cheek pressed against the cushions as she struggled to even out her breath. She couldn't inject again. Not so soon. Dr. Colonia had warned her about relying on the stuff too much, and Greer knew where dependency led. But how else was she supposed to keep going? The princess's words still rang in Greer's memory. What's happening to me personally doesn't matter. If it's not the ideal time, well, it's the only time we've got.
All right, she said to herself. Once more.
Pushing herself to an upright position, she waited for the rush of dizziness to subside, then got to her feet. Although a few of the pilots watched her walking out of the hangar, clearly eager to discuss what she'd known about Princess Leia and when, Greer ignored them all. Luckily, a wheeled transport making its way through the complex turned out to be headed in the general direction of the medbay, so she could catch a ride most of the way there. She walked in to find the place deserted, no patients, and Dr. Colonia taking her break. Good. The 2-1B medical droid turned its half-blue, half-transparent torso toward her.
May I assist you with your illness or injury?
Yes, you can.
Greer eased herself onto one of the beds.
I need another dose of Hedera serum.
The 2-1B remained stationary, its circuits whirring in consideration.
Your use of Hedera serum already exceeds suggested limits.
But I'm not in danger of an overdose, am I? That means you're able to give me the medication.
She rolled up the sleeve of her coverall, exposing the tender crook of her arm and the barely visible latticework of veins just beneath her coppery skin.
I can administer the serum, but I am required to remind you that you are now considered high risk for Hedera toxicity.
I know, Greer sighed.
Believe me, it's impossible to forget.
Sometimes at night, the muscles in her legs would spasm painfully, leaving her to swear as she rocked back and forth on her mattress. The day before, when the stress of Casterfo's explosive revelation had rocked them all, Greer's pulse had quickened far past human norms, pounding so hard she could see it through the fabric of her shirt. If she went over the line that separated dependency from toxicity, those symptoms would stop being occasional nuisances and turn into her constant state of being. But if that was the price of going on, of remaining by Princess Leia's side for the duration of the mission, then Greer would pay it. To the undoubted consternation of most members of the Senate, not to mention the public at large, Ransom Casterfo had refused to give any interviews or take any meetings to discuss the revelations about Leia Organa. He had instead busied himself with the other work of a senator. He found it easier to concentrate on that sort of thing, reading up on the proposed new water purification systems for New Republic ships, or doing research for the upcoming debates over shipping lane restrictions. When calls came in from Lady Carice Sindian, the senior senator from Coruscant, or other high-level officials, Ransom simply requested that they all leave messages for later. He did not intend to answer any of these messages for several days. His staffers kept asking him about each one, however, their consternation obvious. After a while, Ransom could stand their presence no more, and gave them the rest of the day off. The droid could handle what little administrative work had to be done, and he preferred to spend the day alone. Everybody wanted him to expound on his role in bringing down Princess Leia. They wanted him to step up, take credit, and emerge as the centrist leader he had long dreamed of being. Even a few short months ago, he would have been unable to imagine passing up such a golden opportunity for advancement. But he had not exposed Leia's parentage for his own personal gain. Exploiting the situation now would cheapen his actions. I acted in the interest of the truth, he told himself, as he kept staring at the purification system schematics, his brain refusing to make sense of the tangle of pipes and filters. It would be a long time before anyone else believed that his motives had been pure, if they ever believed it at all. But he clung to the knowledge within his own heart, as if it were the only thing keeping him afloat in a stormy sea. By lunchtime, he'd centered himself enough to concentrate on the work in front of him. He sent the droid out to fetch some Ivara Jari food that could be eaten at his desk, and was determinedly working out the manufacturing specs for the pipes when he heard the door chime, then open without any cue from Ransom himself. And he knew, just knew, who the next visitor had to be. Ransom took a deep breath and got to his feet just before Princess Leia stormed in. What, all alone? Except for your creepy Imperial mausoleum, I mean. Leia gestured at the artifacts around her. I would have thought you'd be throwing the party of the century, celebrating your success. You pretended to be my friend and then betrayed me to the entire galaxy. A political masterstroke. So where's the wine? Pretending? You accuse me of pretending? The horror and nausea Ransom had struggled against since hearing the news vanished in an instant, replaced by pure rage. You, who hid your true identity from everyone for decades? This is my true identity. The person I've been all this time, the battles I've fought, the work I've done, that's who I am. My birth father has nothing to do with any of that. How can we be certain? How can we trust anything you say from now on? Ransom had lain awake all night, running through the various ways their understanding of history might be altered through this one critical fact. The Empire found rebel bases time and time again.
The Battle of Endor was nearly lost because it was all an elaborate trap. Could it be that they had a highly placed source inside the Rebel Alliance? A daughter who would obey her father?
Leia's eyes widened, and for one instant Ransom thought she might hit him.
You're accusing me of being a spy? Did you forget the parts where I nearly died along with the rest of the rebellion during those battles? If so, you're dumber than I thought.
Yes, you must have thought I was a fool. The words tasted bitter in Ransom's mouth.
Because I trusted you so quickly. Because I told you the most personal and painful stories of my life, never guessing that they revolved around your father.
Only my birth father, she insisted.
My real father? The only father I ever knew or wanted was Bail Organa of Alderaan.
What could Organa have been thinking, taking in the offspring of someone so corrupt and monstrous? Ransom had wondered about that too, but knew he would never be able to fathom the answer.
Well, Bail Organa himself thought the connection mattered, didn't he?
That was a message recorded out of love! Leia's voice broke, but only for a moment. Anger had eclipsed almost everything else inside her.
And you used it against me! How could you? We were friends, or I thought we were. When you found out, however you found out, did it never occur to you to come to me, to ask me about it personally? Why? So you could lie to me yet again!
Ransom again felt the pent-up, useless fury of the child he'd been, watching Darth Vader reach out with his hand to strangle the life from another helpless prisoner.
You knew how I hated Vader! You knew what he had done to me! How could you still keep your secret knowing that?
Leia shook her head in disbelief.
What Vader did to you? Do you think that can even begin to compare with what Vader did to me? He made me watch my planet die. He froze Han in carbonite and sold him to Jabba the Hutt. He cut off my brother's hand and nearly took his life. And he tortured me, Ransom. He tortured me until I screamed and shook and thought I would die just from the pain alone. Did you bother to ask yourself how it might feel to realize the person who'd done all that to you was your father? Can you imagine how terrible it is to realize all you'll ever know of your birth father is how much he enjoyed making you suffer? That's what I have to live with.
Ransom had assumed Leia had lied about not only her relationship to Darth Vader, but also her feelings about the man. It shocked him to see that her anger was real.
It's all the more reason you should have told me. I hadn't even told my son. Now he has to find out in the most horrible, public way imaginable, all because of you.
Leia's hands were clenched in fists at her sides.
Obviously, I overestimated our friendship. But you owed it to me to come to me with this information first. Even if you still felt you had to shout it out to the entire galaxy, you could have talked to me privately first. Given me a chance to speak with my son. Not even out of friendship, just out of common decency.
But I guess you didn't think I even deserved that.
You had your chances to speak to your son, Ransom insisted. He's not a child any longer, is he? You could have told him at any point before this. Do you think you'd ever have had the courage to tell the truth?
What I kept from Ben, I did for his own good, or what I hoped was his own good.
Now we'll never know. But what you did to me, you did for your own benefit. Well, congratulations, Senator Casterfo. May you enjoy all the power you bought by betraying me. And keep on condemning me as the heir of the Empire while you sit in here surrounded by all of this.
Leia grabbed the Royal Guard helmet from the wall and hurled it toward the nearest display case. The glass shattered with a crash, slivers and splinters scattering all around.
Goodbye, Casterfo. May you get absolutely everything in life that you deserve.
She turned and marched out, shoulder colliding with the droid that had returned in the middle of all this and stood mutely just outside the doorway of Ransom's office. The impact sent the lunch carton tumbling from the droid's hands, spattering noodles onto the carpet. Leia never even paused. A moment later, the door swished again, and he knew she was gone.
Senator Casterfo, are you unharmed?
The droid tilted its head.
I'm fine, Ransom answered, the words no more than automatic. His empty stomach churned. The smell of the food on the floor now sickened him.
Cleaning and repair crews can be summoned. If Senator Organa caused the damage, she can be reported for assault upon the property and person of a senator.
No. Don't do that. No reporting her, no repair crews, nothing. I'll handle this. More than anything, Ransom wanted to be alone, to process everything he'd heard in the past several minutes. The droid hesitated, obviously unable to understand why a human would refuse necessary services, then rolled back to begin cleaning up the spilled food. It went far enough away for the door to slide shut and seal Ransom inside again. For a few breaths, he simply stood there, shaking from pent-up adrenaline. Then, nearly numb, he got to his knees to begin picking up the shattered glass. He misjudged an edge, however. A hot sliver of pain sliced across his skin. Ransom put his thumb to his mouth and tasted blood.